Amen. You may be seated this morning. I hope all of your summer holidays and different things like that have been going well. How many people have gotten a chance to go away on holidays? A few people here and there. How many are just on a permanent holiday? Yeah. A couple teachers put up their hands. Yeah, that's good. So well deserved. It's a tough school year. So, well, I'm Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here at WMB. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for joining us online. And if you're at the cottage, have fun on the boat today. This summer, we're going to be spending the rest of the summer, essentially, walking through the book of 1 John, the Apostle John's letter to the church. This letter, it addresses many important theological and kind of practical everyday issues that the early church in the season that John is navigating are dealing with. And John is addressing something that's not just simply a problem in the early church. Many times we kind of begin to separate that. We're like, well, that was the first century and we don't live in anything like the first century. And so their problems were their problems. Ours are different. But that's just not entirely true. Many of the problems that he navigates in these books are problems that we have in our context even today. So here's kind of what's happening. People in the local church are leaving their fellowship because of their doctrine, their ethics, their devotion, or some kind of combination of these conflicted with those in the church. And so John writes with love and with firmness and with compassion, trying to stabilize the situation by reaffirming key theological truths, particularly and most importantly, I think, to John, people's understanding of who Jesus is. As you're going to hear, there's a mixed mash of different things going on where people are merging paganism, Judaism, Christianity, and all kinds of a mix of other things, and they're calling that Christianity in the church. But what John stresses is the importance of love while emphasizing the necessity for belief to be matched by our actions. He says a personal relationship with Christ is the foundation of the Christian life, and out of that grows a life of obedience to how Jesus calls us to live. Folks, essentially what John stresses is that we have to live by true faith with proactive ethics and a fervent love for God and for people. I really think that this letter, although it's only five chapters, is an amazing letter that I think if we pay close attention this summer to, it'll be life-giving for each of us. Now, this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm so excited about this because we just did it over at the Kitchener site and now we're here with you. That's kind of my life on Sunday mornings, right? And so I'm so excited about this because instead of me just preaching, you know, a really short 40 to 50 minute sermon, we're going to instead experience how the early church would be introduced to a book, how the early church would receive a letter, because that's what this is. It's a letter that is written to the church from the Apostle John. And so in the early church, when a letter like this was written, it would be given to a letter carrier, and that letter carrier would stand before the people of the church at their gathering and read the letter out loud from start to finish. And that's what we're going to do, to introduce you to the book of 1 John. Jen Crum from our Kitchener site is going to come up and read John's letter for us from start to finish. So I know you're all like, what do you mean? It's going to be more than two verses? Yes. So here's what I need you to do. Put yourself into the seat of the first century early church. As a matter of fact, just be in the seat you're in because it's not all that different. We're just not all wearing sandals, or we are. That wasn't in my notes. That was just a nugget for you. We're about to hear from an apostle. An apostle, the Apostle John, a person who literally walked with Jesus, who was literally taught by Jesus, who sat with Jesus and learned from him. Folks, John is talking to you. To each one of us, Christ's body, the church. And so receive this with that context in mind as Jen joins us up here to read John's letter to WNB. Thank you.
I don't have sandals, but I have the letter, so. 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we have claimed we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, oh, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anybody obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purifies themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, Sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sin. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or in speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's command lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into this world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for every one of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Whoever has the son has life. Whoever does not have the son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. If you see any brother or sister that commits a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Jen. I bet when we called to say, can you do the scripture reading this morning, you didn't know you were getting into that, right? This morning, before we close, I wanted to start this series off by reflecting quickly on the richness of how John opens this book. And so throughout the rest of the summer, what we're going to be doing is working verse by verse through the text that we just heard. And so we thought the best way to introduce you to that was to just read the text together. So let's read again, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. He says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." Right away, we see imagery there of John's gospel, how he opens his gospel. The word becomes flesh. And he says that life was revealed and we have seen it and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us, that we have seen and we have heard. We have also declared to you so there's an important passing statement, so that he's about to tell you the results of everything he talked about above, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now hear this, we are writing these things. So he's writing this letter, these things to you, so that our joy may be complete. Now this entire point of this letter is to testify about what they have heard, what they have seen with their very eyes and ears. You see, folks, John wants people to know these things about Jesus, how Jesus revealed life to them and how he asked them to give testimony about this life, the life that Jesus calls all of us who believe to live. But it's interesting because John doesn't, he doesn't just like tell us about it. It's not like he's just, you know, casually kind of, you know, just having a, hey, have you heard of this guy named Jesus? He's kind of cool. Like maybe you should give your life to him. It's not like that. The text actually says he's declaring it. Now, this is very different. Declaring something and just talking about something. Declaring gives it more power than just a simple conversation. And this is so important. It's kind of like life and death sort of important. That's the passion that John has about this as he writes this letter to the church, because everything that he is testifying to you about Jesus is about how you will find true life and eternal life with the creator of the heavens and the earth. Kind of important stuff. And so John says, we declare this to you so that you may also have fellowship with us as others who have placed their trust in Jesus, and fellowship with Jesus himself as your savior. Now, again, we kind of read that and we just sort of pass by those kinds of things. But the Greek word that we interpret as fellowship, it's probably a word some of you are familiar with. We used to have a church not too far from here that was literally named it. The Greek word for fellowship is the word koinonia. It literally means a sense of communion or fellowship, but it's much deeper than how we think of fellowship. Like in the church today, we kind of think of fellowship as like a potluck. You know, that's the really deep fellowship, right? Because we've gathered for food and we had a potluck, or like coffee hour where we just kind of casually chat about how our kids are messing up their lives. You know, like all of those sort of different things, or how proud we are of our children, whatever you're talking about. It's like casual conversation is fellowship. But it's this word koinonia is much deeper than how we think of fellowship. Koinonia means a close mutual relationship similar to how one would view marriage. Okay, hold on. Take a look around the room for a second. Not just the person beside you, but literally like make some effort. Turn your head. Look around and scan the room. I mean, I have the perfect view of all of you right now, except for those in the balcony. You are just one bright light. Do you live in relationship with the people in this room so closely that it's like a marriage? I mean, the covenant of marriage. This is what John's saying that the church is supposed to be like. We're a family, bound together because of our mutual faith in Jesus Christ as our King. He is the glue that brings us and holds us together. This word koinonia, it also points us toward how this looks. It's actually really descriptive. That's one of the beautiful things about the Greek language, is that it actually describes things much better than English does. And he's literally, this word describes how fellowship is to be expressed. It means to share generously with another, to share your possessions, your food, your money, and your life, and your time. All of this is how John, by using this simple Greek word for fellowship, is showing us what this is supposed to look like in our lives. Now, it gets even better. Just these simple four verses that John says something that I think is so, so important. Listen very clearly. He says that when we hear and we receive the apostolic testimony about Jesus, we enter into fellowship with Jesus and his church. It's this deep love-based, Jesus-centric communal life, John says, that completes your joy. John says this is literally why he's writing to us. We must all be in koinonia with Jesus and one another. We must be covenantally committed to Jesus and one another. This is where you're going to find true joy. Like, think about that for a second. What do you do to find your joy? What do you do to find your joy? Is it by seeking the will of Jesus and being in fellowship with his church? Or do you seek it in other ways? Because according to the Apostle John, this is the only way your joy will be complete. It's if you place your trust in Jesus and learn to do life with others who have been brought together by Christ. You see, folks, according to the Bible, our joy is complete when we embrace God's forgiveness and live his will, sharing life with each other. We can never find joy alone. And as we'll hear later in this series, we cannot find joy in things of the world. It's always with others. But it's with others who have found their identity and life in Christ. And this is kind of a messy journey. It's not perfect. I mean, look at the people around you. No one in this room is perfect. This is how John opens up his letter to us. He points us to the testimony about Jesus, to the saving grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers us. And then he points us to each other, to those who have been bound together by Jesus. As we'll see, and we continue in this series, as we move through it, it's not always easy to find this complete joy. Things get messy in the church. We begin to judge one another. We tend to do stuff that God would never actually accept us to be doing. And that's just kind of life in the church, isn't it? It gets messy. And that's why John is calling the church back to Jesus, and more specifically to what Jesus taught, his message. And the reason he's doing this is because some in the church are straying away from the teachings of Jesus. So what's kind of happening here is there are so many teachers going out in the church, and they're kind of mixing like Christianity and Judaism and paganism and individualism in our world today, not so much back then. They're kind of intermixing all of those different things together, and they're teaching these things. Like, they're writing the latest and greatest book about how we got Jesus wrong all along. And now this is the new way. And they're saying that, oh no, this is exactly what Jesus said. This is his message. And people are believing it. They're tainting the testimony of the apostles, and they're mixing different religions into it. And the apostle John says, this is sin. And folks, this happens in the church today, where we're led astray by the latest and greatest new idea that makes a Christianity easier and more comfortable, because that's what we love in our individualistic society. But yet the apostle John says that his will, his living his commands is not a burden at all. But we often fall and are led astray because we hear a message that's more comfortable. Instead of seeking what God wants, we begin to seek what we want, all in the name of God. Literally, becoming our own God. Taking us right back to the book of Genesis, where sin all began. And then what happens is this seeps into our community. And we fall out of fellowship. We begin to be in a constant state of conflict instead of koinonia. We are fractured. We have fractured relationships with Jesus and with each other. John is correcting this. So as we walk through John's letter this summer, pay close attention to what he warns us of. Pay close attention to the direction he gives that points us toward a deeper relationship with Jesus. And more importantly, pay attention, because he says that if you pay attention to this, your joy will be complete. According to the Apostle John, the only way to find love and joy in your life is to receive what he himself saw and heard about Jesus. Because Jesus is the way to life, life to the fullest. He's the only way for us to learn how to be in fellowship with each other in ways that actually bring us true joy. Jesus completes our life. When we align our lives with his will and his ways, our lives are made complete. But when we stray outside of that, even in how we interact with one another, it's incomplete. Essentially, folks, what John is going to do with WMB this summer is call the church to become disciples of Jesus, to dig deeper in your discipleship, to be, discipleship is just a fancy word for how you interact with Jesus in relationship and how you interact with one another in relationship. It's koinonia. This is why discipleship and koinonia are interconnected because it's about life together in the church with Jesus at the center of it. Because discipleship is always relational. It can never be done alone. Sometimes it's messy and imperfect, but it's what leads us to our joy being complete. Let's pray. Father, as we continue in our service, I pray, Lord, that these words that have been read from the pages of Scripture, 5 chapters, that we wouldn't just be like, yep, we read too much today at church, but that we would actually open our hearts and our minds to hear from your Holy Spirit and to receive conviction, to change and to be transformed into who you're calling us to be. And Lord, as we continue in our day, I pray, Lord, that these verses that are read will go through our minds and our hearts and will penetrate who we are so that we can find true joy. So Lord, as we continue, as we have songs and a baptism, I pray, Lord, that we would enter into a true place of koinonia, not surface talk, but deep, intimate relationships with you and your body, the church. Amen.